Great. Will you close your eyes for a moment? I want to have you guys visualize something. So go ahead and close your eyes. No one's going to do anything to you. We're a nice church. Close your eyes and imagine this for a moment. Imagine that the unspeakable happened. You're at your home, and an army from another country has surrounded your home. And they grab you and your family. They take you to an airport, and against your will, they fly you off to another country that's not your own. You get there, the place isn't familiar, the language isn't familiar, the culture isn't familiar, the smells are different, the air is different, the weather is different, and you don't know how long you're going to be kept captive. You're missing your hometown. You miss the new Mecca. You miss Pittsburgh High football games. You miss the water park. You miss the seafood festival. Everything you're just comfortable with, it's hometown, is no longer part of what you have. You get some news from the home country, and they say, we think we can work it out that you're going to come back in 2 years. And you get your hopes up. It's a long time, but 2 years, you can last through that. But then you get another message, and it says this. Actually, the person who told you that message was wrong. He was lying to you. It's going to be 70 years. You probably won't come back. You'll probably die before that. It might be your kids, your grandkids that come back. What will your attitude be towards this less than perfect, unfamiliar city and country that you're in now? Continue to keep your eyes closed. The situation I just described actually happened. In the year 600 BC, a foreign government called the Babylonians captured people in Jerusalem, took them from their home country, and brought them to a new land. And two prophets from the home country spoke to them and said, hey, the first one said, in 2 years, you're going to come back. But that prophet died. He was a false prophet. He was lying. And a true prophet named Jeremiah said, actually, it's going to be 70 years. That's how long you're going to be in this new country. Okay, you can open your eyes now. How'd you guys feel? What kinds of emotions came up? Yeah. Hopeless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are the thoughts you guys have? Glad you're here. Glad that was an exercise. Glad you're here. Yeah. What I want us to do right now is that God had a special message for those people. And I want you to read that message. In your outline, it's in Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. This is how I want to do it. We don't do this often, but I want you, we're in chairs. I want you to move your chairs around so you're in groups of four. Find three other people. And when you're in that group, before you do that, when you're in that group, have someone read through Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. And I want you guys to summarize what is God telling his people. All right, so go ahead and go into groups of three or four. Have someone read the passage and then try to summarize what's going on here. Gather up. You can stay in your little circle just for a bit, but why don't we just go around and just have someone quickly share just in like 10, 15 seconds. How would you summarize this passage? Someone from over here. Listen up.
Settle in, settle down, make it good.
Great. Are you guys all the same group? Okay, how about right here? Go ahead, Barbara.
Make yourself at home.
Make yourself at home.
Increase your generations.
Seek peace and prosper. It almost sounds like Star Trek for a second, huh? Yeah, that's great. Great, over here. Yeah. Vern, go for it.
Basically, to start over. Start fresh.
Yep.
You pray to me, you will prosper. So you're going to have to entrench in the next generation what it was because you're not going back.
Great, good. Good summarization. Yeah, over here.
I can have a positive outlook that you're in a new world.
Okay. Yep.
Learn what to get familiar with your surroundings.
Good.
Be able to grow, develop, and learn from them so you can go forth and have children.
Great. So very positive, future-looking, yeah, perspective. Great. Back here.
Prosper, have families, carry on.
Prosper, have families, carry on. Keep going. Good. Over here.
Remember that God brought him there.
God, that's right.
So don't doubt that he's not with him.
Great. Remember, God brought you here in the first place, and so you need to remember that he's going to be with you. Yeah. Good. Over here.
Just make the best of what God has for you and trust in him.
Great.
Great.
Make the best of what God has for you right there. Great. Thanks, Joe. Back here. I think you two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The married couple had a group.
It doesn't matter where you're at. God's always with you.
Because
the church is the people.
Wow. It doesn't matter where you're at. God's always with you because the church is the people. Great. Did you guys meet back here? No? All right. Okay. Over here. Sound people. Great, wonderful, yeah. Right, trust the Lord, yep, great.
You know we got all of that.
Good. Over there, you have nothing new to add, but we want to hear your words. What are your words, yeah?
I think most of it was that encouragement that God is with you, even in those times that seem really yucky.
Yeah, good. That's right, great, good. Well, no matter where you're at, what situation you're in, praise the Lord. Great. Good. Back here. You get what you get. You don't feel what?
Don't throw a fit.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's right. Good. Good. Wonderful. I love that. Was this a separate group over here? Okay. Big group. Yes. Michael.
We're talking. Think back when you grew up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you long to go.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, great, great. So instead of longing for where you used to be or where you grew up, where you are at, place yourself there and see what God's going to do. Great. Yes, over here.
Yeah.
Have faith if God gives you lemons, make lemonade. Good job, you guys. Well, here's, I think, how it connects to us. Two ways. One is, and this is in your outline, sometimes our longing for heaven is so big. Sometimes we think, I just can't wait to get out of this life. I can't wait for heaven to start. You know what I mean? And I just can't wait to get there. And sometimes when we have that attitude, we forget that God has us where we are for a reason. So in your outline, it says, beware of the temptation to long so much for heaven that you never decide to seek the well-being of where you live right now. Have you ever heard that phrase? Some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly use. Sometimes, now it's good to have hope in heaven. It is. That's a biblical thing. But sometimes we're so longing for heaven that we don't really stop to care about where we are right now. Now, the other way this applies, and this isn't exactly yours, but beware of the temptation to long so much for where you want to live that you never decide to seek the well-being of where you are right now. Beware of saying, you know what? I wish I lived somewhere else. Or I wish I had a bigger house. I can't wait to get out of where I'm at right now. Or we had to move and I miss where I'm from. But we have these things where we just stop and we think, I wish I was somewhere else. And what happens is we never settle and see what God has for us right where we are. One of my friends, she was telling me that she and her husband moved to San Diego, and it wasn't clear if her husband was going to have this job for a long time or not. So she never really made friends because she just never knew, are we going to move real quick or not? So she lived there for 2 or 3 years without making any friends, and then her husband found out that they actually were going to stay there long term. So all of a sudden, she went everywhere and made all these friends. But she missed out on 2 or 3 years of relationships because she just wasn't sure. She didn't want to settle. And I think we get into that same problem sometimes when we're not happy about where we live or we're so much thinking about heaven that we never think God might have something for us right where we are now. I titled the sermon, Why a City Would Love a Church. Why would a city love a church? And skip down to the bottom of your outline where it says the first church. This is talking about the first church. And listen to what the Bible says about the first church. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. So they looked around and said, oh my gosh, there are people who have needs. We're going to sell what we have to help people around us. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Will you circle those words, favor of all the people? They were enjoying the favor. In other words, people in their city loved that this church was here. They were really good news to the city. And the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. The first church had a really good reputation in their community. The city loved that they were there. They had the favor of all the people. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's as true in our day. If you look at any mainstream media, Christians are getting a worse and worse reputation, a worse and worse name. Gandhi, earlier in the century, used to quote so much from Jesus that one time a Christian asked him, "You quote from Jesus all the time. Why don't you become a follower of Jesus?" And this is what Gandhi said: "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ." Later he said, "If Christians would really live according to the teaching of Christ as found in the Bible, all of India would be Christians today." For some reason, more and more people like Jesus, but their impression of the church is getting worse and worse. And you think, what happened? Because the first church had a great reputation in their society. People were so glad that they were there. And here's the truth. We can talk all we want. We can preach all we want. We could sing all we want. But nothing makes more of a difference to our city than by what we do. What we do for the city. Do we care for our city? Do we care where we're at right now? And like I said, sometimes we're tempted to think so much about heaven that we don't stop and think, God might have me here for a reason, to make a difference, to be good news, and to be a blessing. Here's the mantra. This is in your outline. Mantra is this: if the church starts with good works, that's the first thing, good works. And you see the early church doing this. They're selling all their possessions and giving to everyone who's in need. They really care about the hurting around them. If we start with good works, that will lead to the second thing, which is good favor. Good works leads to good favor. This early church was caring for where they were right then. And the city around them said, "I like that they're here." They had good favor. And if you have good works, it leads to good favor. And that will result in being able to share good news, which is the third thing. Good news. As a result of the early church's care for the poor, as a result of the early church really investing in their city, they gained good favor, and then it says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Good works leads to good favor, which leads to good news. Now, there are portions of Scripture where Jesus says that people will hate you because of me. But when he's talking about that, he's talking about not those that the church is serving, but those who are offended by the church's goodness. Sometimes powers get realigned when the church is really good and starts caring for the poor, starts caring for the outcasts. But here, the church was well-loved. And the Bible says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city that I have carried you into exile. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper." So here's what I want to encourage you guys. I have three encouragements. Number one is this: believe that God has a purpose for where you live right now. Think of your home right now. Imagine your home. And I want you to know that God does not have you there for a random reason. These exiles, these Jews that were taken from their home in Jerusalem to Babylon, they felt like this was not God's will, but God said, "It was I who carried you into exile." He had a purpose even in that. And I don't care where you live or why you live where you live. God has a purpose for you being there right now. You may be thinking, "But I'm trying to find a home. I'm here temporarily." That's great, but don't ignore why God has you right where you are right now. You may be thinking, "I had to move because of foreclosures. I don't like where I live. I think that is awful. I know God wants something better for you." But in the meantime, he has you where you are for a purpose. You may be thinking, "I'm about to retire. I'm like getting rid of all my friends over here." Great, go retire. Have a great time wherever you're going. But God has you here for now. So plant yourself. Be good. Realize you have a purpose there. Look up here just for a second. You may not love where you live. You may be there for reasons that you're not happy about. But God has something for you where you are. Amen? And so I want you to believe that God is for you and he has good things. And so you need to invest and be faithful right where you are. Some advice I received when I was in my younger 20s, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my career. Someone said, you know, John, what you need to do is just be faithful to God with what's right in front of you. And God will open up the doors of what's next in your career move. And that was great advice. And I think that's true of where we live, too. Is God, we want to be faithful right where you're at, even if it's little things. And we'll talk about how to do that. And watch God open doors for you. Plant yourself. Settle. Believe that God has a purpose for you right now. The second encouragement I want to say is for you to pray for your city. Pray for your city. As we read it, the Bible says, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I like how God appeals to our self-interest here. He says, pray for your city. He doesn't give a very noble reason. He says, because if the city does well, you'll do well too. You know, he just appeals to, like, you know, your little self-interest. He says, you know what? It's in your self-interest to pray for where you live, because you want it to flourish. You want it to prosper, because you're going to benefit from that as well. So I want to ask you guys a question, and this is, you know, open. What are the big issues in our cities right now that we need to be praying for? What are the issues in Pittsburgh? What are the issues in Antioch? We can even go, I know people from Concord and Brentwood are here too, and someone from Emeryville, but we're not going to count you because that's too far. That was a joke. They're supposed to laugh. Sorry. All right. Anyway, what are some of the issues? Let's talk. What are some of the issues in Pittsburgh that we need to be praying for? Drugs.
Jobs.
Both. Yes. Jobs. Unemployment. Yeah. What else? Foreclosures, schools, yeah. Say again? Completion of downtown, right, yep. Yeah, Antioch as well. Homelessness, yeah, let's talk about Antioch now. What are some of the big needs in Antioch that we need to be praying for? Same things, yep. Any
construction,
housing, anything else? Huh? The youth, absolutely. A lot of youth stuff. Gangs, yeah, right. There's ethnic tension going on in Antioch too, right? Yeah, we need to be praying for that. I don't know the other cities as well, but here's the gist is that there are issues in our cities, and rather than thinking, oh, those are out there, those are someone else's issues, what you want to do and what God wants to do is realize that he has you in your city for a purpose, and he wants you to feel concern for the issues going on in your city and to pray for your city. He wants your city to prosper so that you too will prosper. And part of how we do that is we pray. Now, I pray in the morning, but I don't really think, hey, let me pray for my city while I'm praying in the morning. But what does help me is just as I'm walking or driving, I'm driving along and I see things in our city. And those are great prompters for me to pray. And so I'm often praying in the car, oh God, I see this. This isn't looking good, or I see this. But what we want to do is develop a discipline of wherever you are in your city to look around and say, God, how do you want this city to prosper, and how can I pray for it? God wants you there. He has a purpose for you, and he wants you to pray. Amen?
Amen.
The third encouragement I want to say is to work for the well-being of your city. Work for the well-being of your city. Jeremiah 29:7 says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Now, that word peace and prosperity, if you go to the Hebrew where it's translated from, that word is shalom. How many of you have heard the word shalom before? Yeah, it's a Hebrew phrase. It's typically translated peace. But it actually means much more than peace. In fact, different Bible translations will translate in different ways. It means the welfare of your city, prosperity, the wealth, the well-being, good things, peace. The word shalom, in essence, means everything just being right, being the way it should be. And God says to seek the shalom of the city to which I have carried you into exile. In other words, part of being a family of God is to say, step back and say, I want to seek the well-being of the city I live. I want everything to be right. And if the city does well, I do well as well. Now, here's some ways we've done this as a church. During our grand opening, we had a community service Sunday, and we spent a Saturday morning gardening here, painting, doing all kinds of things around the school grounds. And I remember coming into the school the week afterwards. I was coming in to do some administrative paperwork, and I was greeted so wonderfully. They're like, "You're the pastor of Edgewater. Thank you, thank." And I kind of forgot. I'm like, "What's going on?" And they saw the painting, the murals on it. They saw the gardening. They're like, "We are so glad you guys are here. Thank you for all that you did." Good works leads to good favor. We asked the teachers, "What's your number one need right now?" They're like, "We are really low on school supplies." And so you guys, as a church, of your own giving, we raised $770 to buy school supplies. We passed those all out. And I just got a card last week from one of the teachers. It says it's from room 208. It says, "Thank you for the whiteboard markers. We will put them to good use." Good works leads to good favor. I was at my Starbucks. I call it mine because it's my second office. It's the one right here on the corner. And I didn't know this, but this Starbucks once a month brings coffee here to this school for the teachers once a month. And one of the Starbucks employees a couple weeks ago says, "Now, are you still meeting at Stoneman?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh my gosh, they like you guys so much. We were bringing coffee to them. They couldn't stop talking to you. I just want to let you know you have a really good reputation at that school." Good works leads to what? Let's say the mantra out loud. Good works, good favor, good news. Ready? Good works leads to, which leads to good news. We want to be a blessing where we're at. I don't know how long we're going to be at Stoneman. All of us want a building, right? But we're here right now. So we plant ourselves, and we're good news where we are right now. God wants the same for you where you are right now in your neighborhood. Now, this is not a gimmick. We're not just trying to, you know, let people like us. This is motivated out of true love. In fact, this is not in your outline, but 1 Corinthians 13 says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing." So basically, this is all motivated out of love because we care for the well-being of our city. We care for the well-being of our school. We took a Christmas offering. And Charisse and I are going to go to Shepherd's Gate this week because you guys gave over $600 to give to Shepherd's Gate, which is a woman's shelter in Brentwood. You guys also gave, through the Christmas offering, over $600 to give to Living Water, which builds wells to produce clean water in third world countries. Good works leads to good favor, which leads to good news. And I just wanted to show a video that says a little bit about where that money is going to build wells, because it's a really powerful story of what's going on. So as you're watching this, I want you guys to think through the good works leads to good favor, which leads to good news, and watch how that shows up in a simple thing like building wells so people can have clean water. Let's watch. It's a privilege to give to those causes, isn't it? So I just want to say how proud I am to be pastor of this church that so willingly gives of its own resources to help your local community, to help the international community, because it's part of God's work, and it's great to be part of that. Now, the question is, how do we take this home after we leave today? And there are certain things that we can do as a group, as a church, and those are good things. We're going to continue to do those things. But I have found that nothing is more powerful than the individual just being good news to his or her neighbors. There's something about where, and I've been the beneficiary of this, that when you're just not doing well and a neighbor on his own or her own volition decides to come over and just help out. So I want to talk a little about how you can bring shalom to where you live, specifically in your house. It's as simple as things like when you see your neighbors, okay, this is a big thing, you're going to be glad you came to church. When you see your neighbors, smile. Say hello. Greet them, because people need to know that they're welcome. What you want to do, and I commission you to do this, is you want to be the spiritual steward of your block. You want to just be looking out of your block and saying, how are people doing here? Is there anything I can be doing to help out? Oh, look, that person left their garbage can out. I wonder if they're out of town. Maybe I could put it back for them. Oh, look, maybe that person needs their lawn mowed. Whatever it is. But I want you guys to begin to feel and know that from God's perspective, you are where you are for a purpose. And he has you there to bless and seek the well-being of the people around you. So you are the spiritual authorities on your block. Amen? How do you guys feel about that? Good, yes. So you want to look around and say, God, how can I be a blessing here? How can I be helpful? You don't need to force it. God will bring things up. But it's just an attitude you have as you're walking around your neighborhood, as you're walking around your block, you're thinking, I am here. God has me here for a purpose. And I want to know what it is. And I want to be a blessing. It's very simple things. asking people, how are things, how are you doing? Is there anything I could be helping with? This is what the Bible says about this. This is what Jesus says about this in your outline in Matthew 5:14. It says, you are the light of the world. Now, this is Jesus talking to people who are following him. He doesn't say, hey, try to become the light of the world. He says, you know what? You are the light of the world. Whether you like it or not, that is your new identity. If you follow me, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So you are a light, but don't hide that light. Be good news to where you are. You are light, so instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And then Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There is something about humility. We don't want to be bragging or showing up, but there is something also about doing good deeds in such a way that God gets the glory. Now, what I found is that when you are a good person and your neighbors, they just begin to think that you're a nice person. Oh, what a nice person you are. Oh, you're so sweet. You're just a quality person. And that's not the goal. The goal is that God gets the glory. And so we need to be quick to say, you know what, thank you, but this is because of who God is in my life. We need to somehow point it back to God. I remember a church I was with many years ago. We spent an afternoon planting trees in a forest that was kind of getting old and yucky. And so we spent the afternoon planting trees. And the next Monday, I was at work, and one of my workmates asked me what I did over the weekend. And I said, you know, my church and I planted trees. And she said, are you religious? And I'm like, oh, I don't like that word, but if you mean do I follow Jesus, yeah. And she goes, but you're so normal. And she just couldn't get this. But it was really easy to say, we plant trees because we're following God. That's part of who we are. We believe that God is here to make a difference in your life and our life, and that we're part of that. So it's important to point people back to God, or otherwise they'll just think you're good and nice people, which isn't the goal. I shared this story before, but it illustrates this point. Again, many years ago, I was leading a small group, kind of like a growth group, except for people who don't know Jesus yet. We provide a safe place for people to come and study the Bible, and they didn't know Jesus yet. And we were doing it in the dormitory of a college, because I used to work on a college campus. And there were three or four of us meeting in this room, but a guy named Brian would come by, and he would look at what we were doing, and then he'd go back into his room. And then later on, he'd come out, look at what we were doing, go back into his room. So the third time, I said, hey, Brian, do you want to join us? And he said, what are you doing? So we were studying the Bible. And he looked at us, and he goes, I don't know why you'd want to study about a God who hates people, throws people in hell, and destroys nations. But okay. And so then he sat down and joined us. And so he went through his Bible study. And I like to say that it was a wonderful experience. It wasn't. He was trying to be difficult the whole time. No matter what we did, he made some sexual joke out of it. And it was an all guys group, so they were loving it. I'm like, great. So, you know, we went through a study. It was the end of the study. And because I was trying to be nice, I said, hey, Brian, we're going to be here next week if you want to join us. I was not feeling that at all. I was just saying it because I was really hoping he wouldn't come back. And he said, actually, I probably won't. Thanks anyway. And so he left. We met next week, and Brian showed up. Same thing. Stayed the whole study. It was difficult the whole time. Kept inviting him back. He became my most consistent member over 9 months. He would come every week. Now, the good news is he lightened up over time. He actually became cooperative. And then I remember specifically at the end of the school year, I was with some buddies. We were praying, and Brian walked in. He said, what are you guys doing? I said, we're praying right now. He said, can I sit down and pray with you? I said, okay, you realize that we are praying. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's okay. And then he says this, because you guys are the kind of Christians that love people. And he sat down and prayed with us. Good works leads to good favor, which leads to good news. Wherever you are, I want to encourage you to see yourself as planted where you are by God and to give yourself to your city and to your neighborhood. God has you to be the light of the world. So look around and say, God, how can I be a blessing today? It doesn't have to be anything formal. Just make it part of your life day to day as you're walking around. God, how can I be helpful? How can I seek the prosperity and welfare of where I am right now? Do you love Pittsburgh? Do you love Antioch? Do you love Concord? Do you love Brentwood? Because God does. And he has you where you are so you can show that love to people. God has a purpose for where you are right now. So I ask you, I plead with you, love your neighbor this week. Amen? Love your neighbor. Ask God why he has you where you are. And when people see you loving them in God's name, make sure you let them know it's God. This is all because of God. If you want to mention Edgewater, you can do that too. I'm part of a church family. Amen? Great. Well, let me pray for us. God, the first church had such a good reputation in their city. And Lord, we pray that we, as long as other churches in our neighborhood, would have that same reputation. Lord, you called us to be light, to do good works, and to share your good news. And we, Lord, we pray that we would live up to what you've called us. You call us the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We want to make you proud, God. Let us live up to that challenge. And we pray that we would know your blessing in the process. We pray, God, that as we seek the benefit and welfare of those around us, we would experience your blessing on us as well. And we realize that we are in this together. And you care for the cities, and we want you to as well. I also want to pray just for a moment for those who are here and you're coming in pretty hurting, and you don't know God yet, and you're thinking, I need to be found by God. I want to say that God has you here for a reason too. He may have you here because he wants to show you his love. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bring you into his family and call you his own. And all you need to do is say, okay, God, I give up. I trust you. I surrender to you. And if you want to do that, you can do that right now by just praying this prayer between you and God. And it goes like this. God, I admit that I'm a broken person and I need a lot of help. God, I admit that I've blown it and I've been trying to do things on my own. But God, I'm going to choose to believe today that you love me, that you forgive me and took my sins on the cross with you. I'm forgiven. And so I want to receive your forgiveness. And God, I commit my life to you. I want to be your child and live a new life. If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you into God's family. And I want to say that he has a purpose for you right now. And this is just the beginning. God, we pray for all of us that we would be your church. That we would love the cities we're in so well, that we would be good news to our city. And if we were to ever disappear, it would be a great loss to our city. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.